Good morning. Do you know, there's something about what we're about to do in the next half an hour that has got me thinking that this is the greatest privilege I've ever had in terms of speaking. And I don't know if that's true, but that's where my thoughts are at, just so that you know where kind of my starting point is today. And you might notice that we've got some fantastic young people right here. Did you know you're fantastic? One of you said yes. And that is because one of these guys, front and center, because they are already on this journey. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But we are in this series called the Justice League. And guys, I just want to apologize to you. You're not sat here because you're going to watch one of your favorite films. Has anybody seen the Justice League? I've not even seen it. Half of them haven't even heard of it, guys. But anyway, so no, it's not that. We're talking in this series about our response to the injustices in the world as the church. What has that got to do with us? So our starting point today is going to be in this very room. But we're going back 5.5 years to February 2013, and I'm going to put this quite old flyer because February 2013 is actually when Katie and I moved here, and within a couple of weeks the chaplain of the school here, Andrew Colmer, invited me to come and to be in this room because of this band LZ7, who were going to be playing at the Anglican Cathedral on the Friday night. But in the lead up to that, they were going to be doing kind of lessons in here and lunchtime gigs, that type of thing. And it's really interesting that people like Jess Hyde are here this morning, because Jess, I don't know if you remember this, but you were one of the ones at the front going, woo, at the front. She's completely denying it, and it just so happens that others seem to be away today. Unfortunately, I didn't have an iPhone then, so I didn't have any video footage. That would have been brilliant, wouldn't it? Long time ago, and a different time, absolutely. But I will never forget the moments in this room. Not because the youth were going crazy in lunchtime. They literally packed it right up to the back and they're going crazy, the band out here. That was a lot of fun. But it was the lessons that they were doing. You see, they were talking about one of the tours that they'd done of a foreign country. And if I'm honest with you, I can't remember what foreign country it was, but I will never forget what Lindsay, the lead singer, who's just this picture there with his headphones on there, said. They were in this foreign country, and they had gone to go and play and stuff, but they were very aware of this issue of human trafficking in that place. And they wanted to know just how close a proximity they were to what was going on in terms of how close they were to it. And so one of the team, I don't know if it was Lindsay himself, they pulled over in this lay-by, and they went to a trucker, and they just tried to communicate with this guy in some kind of way to say, where would I find a girl? And the guy kind of looked around, and he pointed to the building behind the lay-by. They were literally feet away from where human trafficking was taking place. And that horrified me. And I remember it was actually a New Year's Eve. What would that be? New Year's Eve, so that's like 10 months later. I remember this bizarrely coming up in conversation with somebody I'd not seen for years. And I told them, and I told her how horrified I was about it. And I did nothing. Literally nothing about it. And then a couple of years later, I noticed something really kind of strange happening, if you like. Whenever I heard about violence against women, particularly rape, there was something inside me that just rose up in anger. I can't tell you why as such, as to why it was happening in that moment, but it was happening. I was horrified, and I did nothing about it. And about 6 months later, I remember watching the news, or maybe I was scrolling through it. I became aware of a news story. And it was some kind of violence against women. And I thought, oh, that's really horrible. That's really sad. And I was like, wow, where's the anger gone? Where's the utter frustration gone? It had gone. And it really scared me. Because 6 months before that, there was this anger, this righteous anger of this has got to stop. but I'd done nothing about it. I'd acted in no way on what God was doing in my heart, and so quite literally, it just went. And again, I did nothing about it. And then summer 2017 came. And I'm not going to say this is a good thing to do if you can't sleep at night, but I found myself on YouTube, and genuinely, I would not say that's a great thing to be going on if you can't sleep at night. But for some bizarre reason, I found myself listening to a song by LZ7 and Matt Redmond, the worship leader, who had written this song together about 8 years ago now, and I listened to this song. And we're going to listen just a couple of minutes of it, and I'm going to say this. The genre of the song might not be for you, but please don't miss the words from this song.
See what the world's done, came to London. See the nothing and no one's in London. Broken dreams, stolen freedom. Traps in the night, traffic's unbeaten. All a part of an evil economy. Nothing more than someone's commodity. A precious being, like you and me. A daughter, a sister, a somebody. She was drawn by the bright lights. She was tied up in their lives. She worked right through the daylight. No voice, she's a slave to the night.
Broke me, and it breaks me now because that is so true what is happening in our world today. And so what happened was I went from that song to the website of A21 and I started to read about their work, their three words, their strategy of reach, rescue and restore. They speak about reaching the vulnerable to prevent people getting in slavery in the first place. They do that through events, student presentations, and education programs, like in schools. They rescue, so they work with law enforcement on the ground. They seek to identify victims through hotlines that are available. They seek to prosecute traffickers, representing survivors in court proceedings. They seek to restore, to empower survivors. They work face-to-face with every person they help. They work face-to-face with them. They give them the care that they need as individuals, not just rolling out a program, whether it's housing, medical treatment, counseling, education, employment. They seek to help people reach independence. And so I had to do something this time. It was 4 years since I'd heard that story, and it was like, come on, Rob, you cannot just do nothing. And so just a couple of weeks later, I went to the youth leaders' breakfast that we have in the city, and I said, guys, I know I'm going to do this. I'm going to invite my group. We're going to do this together. Does anyone want to join me? And so that is what we did on the 12th of October 2017. There they are, just outside St. George's Hall. Around 50 of us. It was about 40 young people and a dozen or so leaders. And we took a mile walk around the city. And it was just a great night. Some of them are sniggering as they're looking for themselves there. They did great. Do you know why they did great? Because they turned up. They turned up. They did something. And as Nick said, we can't do everything, but we can do something. And guys, you did something. And so you can go, wow, I was there that night, and I helped raise just under £1,500. How good is that? Should we say well done? And so that could have ended there. But I was hoping I'd learned my lesson, not only just to act, but not to treat things as events. Oh, I've done that now. I've helped a few people. Hopefully, I'm done. Well, if there was any danger of that happening, just hear what happened next. A week later, I got a phone call from a friend called Alex, which is a little strange. We would normally communicate by text, but he called me. And after a few pleasantries, he said, how do you fancy going to Thailand? And I laughed. And he said, no, seriously. You know that my sister runs this organization called Connect, and they've invited us to come run the youth program there. We can't go. Would you like to go? And I went, I can't. We've got a youth program. We've got a youth weekend away happening in January. He said, well, I'll check the dates. Let's go back. So I'd actually decline the offer. He texts back just a few hours later saying, no, the dates do not clash. And so some of you know this. Most of you know this already. That is what happened. In February, ridiculously, we found ourselves in Thailand at this Connect missionary conference. And the day before we flew, we were at Ollie and Tammy's house. Now, this might sound a bit random, guys, but the toilet of their house is upstairs, okay? So I've been upstairs in their house, and I might have been into Isabel's room once or twice, saying, come on, Ev, hurry up, you know, we're going. But I don't remember ever seeing the bookcase that was opposite Isabel's door. Has it always been there? I don't know. It's always been there, okay? So if I've been upstairs, I've not noticed it. And I saw the bookcase, and I just saw the book God on Mute, and it was a book that I wanted to read for ages. And some of you are like, oh my gosh, he's talking about it again. But guys, I'm not apologizing. This book has changed me and challenged me so much. And so Tammy graciously, she's like, yeah, I want it back because I'm not giving it back, graciously said, you can borrow it. I forgot it. And the next day, they turned up with it because I'd forgotten it. I thought, okay, well, I'll take it on holiday. And I'm going to repeat just a couple of things because it's really important. As I was reading this book at 2 a.m., I think the second night we were in Rayong, the resort where we were staying, that was the moment where I read about this tsunami in this book. He just made a reference to a tsunami. And in all the stairwells, the bottom of the staircases, they had these warnings, tsunami evacuation way. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, God, are you preparing me for a tsunami? Genuinely, I was flipping out. And I didn't know what to do about it. But I carried on reading. And then, as some of you know, because I told you about 6 months ago, on the way home, I read about a plane tumbling from the sky. Well, you can see from the picture, we were in the sky, about 36,000 feet in the sky. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. But at this point, I wasn't thinking, oh, is the tsunami coming or is the plane going to tumble to the sky? I knew what was happening. God, who was getting my attention. How did I know that? Because of the thing that I missed out in February because it wasn't appropriate to share. You see, just after I'd read about the tsunami, about half an hour later, I started to read about a guy called Rob Morris. And Rob Morris lives in the U.S., but he sends teams over to Southeast Asia. And I read that, and I thought, oh, that's interesting, because I'm in Asia, which sounded very bizarre to think, because I've never been before. But it's like, all right. But I'm like, well, that's quite a big place. So I wasn't too flipped out. And I turned the page, and I started to read about his work in Bangkok. And at that point, I freaked out, genuinely. Because he was speaking about the trafficking taking place in the city that we'd flown into 48 hours before, where we'd stayed for a night and now we'd driven 3 hours south. We were 3 hours from the place where this was happening. And I just so happened to have this book in front of me, and I just so happened to be reading at that point where I'd been there just a couple of days before. But in that moment, I was freaking out. God, what are you doing? Why are you getting my attention? Why are you drawing us here? If anything, it didn't feel good at all. It felt scary. But it didn't stop there. Because the next day, I started talking to somebody about their work in A21. I thought, well, that's interesting. And around that time, I started to talk about somebody, about their work with Starfish, another charity working with victims and survivors of human trafficking. And then I happened to sit at dinner with somebody who was making the video for Love Justice. What is going on? And as if that wasn't enough, talked about Bangkok, thought about this. My reading for that morning was from this book, Essential 100. E100, I recommend it. It's 100 Bible readings, an overview of the Bible in 100 Bible readings. And that morning, it was from Judges 6 and 7. It was the story of Gideon. Now, I don't know who or what you think about when you think about Gideon, but I immediately think of him saying, him being the weakest in the clan, and the angel saying, no, you're a mighty warrior. But there's some things that we can easily miss, and this is what jumped out at me. Because, you see, the Israelites had turned from God, and so they were in trouble. They turned away from God. The Midianites, the Amalekites had invaded, and they were ruining the Israelites' livelihood. And the angel came to Gideon and said this, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, I would have thought Gideon at that point would have started to talk to the angel about that. But he doesn't. If you look at the text, he doesn't pick up the angel on the mighty warrior bit first. What does he pick up first? The next bit. He says, "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened?" He doesn't say, "Why have you called me mighty warrior?" first. He's just been told by the angel, in amongst all this nonsense going on, because they've turned away from God, he's picking up on, whoa, how is God with me? How is God with us if all this is going on? So what does God say in response? He says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" You see, he didn't need to answer because Gideon should have already known. The prophet had already spoken. You've turned away from God. This is why it's happening. But this, Gideon, needs to be your response to what is happening. And it's like I had missed that. And you, some of you are going, yeah, right? But seriously, it's like I'd missed that part of the text. And it hit me right between the eyes. It was like God was saying right there and then, "Rob, do something about this." And I'm a slow learner, and I think God knows this, because when we flew into Dubai, that was our gate. Now you might, for the keen-eyed, you might notice it says Lanzarote. I didn't take a photo of it because I didn't notice it, and it took Katie to point out later, "Do you remember that gate was A21? I was like, "No, I'd missed it." Because I don't know about you, I can miss the things where God is trying to get my attention. And as if that wasn't enough, I got back to the office. I'd been home 2 weeks. Literally, I knocked a magazine off my shelf. Now, it had been there. I know it had been there since camp when I did it for the first time in summer 2013. I'd not looked at it. I picked it up, and that was on the back cover. A21, be the change. Now, if you want to tell me these are coincidences, I'm just going to say you're wrong. Okay? I'm just going to say that. Because there were too many things leading to this. But what was it leading to? Well, basically, we met with somebody from A21 a few weeks later saying, "Look, God is on our case. We have got to respond to this." And so we agreed we would pick up the Walk for Freedom and we would run it this year. And that is what we're doing. But before we dive into the details and finish with a bit more of the word, let's just remind ourselves, or learn perhaps for the first time, who A21 are and what the effect of their work is.
It was shocking for me to find out that right now, in the 21st century, there are more people trapped in slavery than ever before. One has to wonder, how is this happening? You know, we see these statistics like 27 million slaves. But the truth is that numbers are numbing. Numbers are dehumanizing and desensitizing. And it becomes so easy to ignore suffering when it remains nameless or faceless. In fact, it's so easy to be overwhelmed by the enormity of the problem if it seems so large that none of us could make a difference. But if you can break that number down so that it represents one human being, one life, one story, then that changes everything. One story that profoundly impacted me was Natalia's. She went to a coffee shop to meet up with a guy that her friends introduced her to. She was so excited about going on a date. She remembered laughing and talking with him, thinking they were having a great time. What she didn't realize was when she went to the bathroom, he drugged her coffee, causing her to pass out. He then threw her in the trunk of the car, as if she was nothing more than a piece of baggage. When he arrived at the Greek border, he simply paid off the security guards and entered the country freely. When she awoke, she was in a different country, chained to a bed. She was raped and beaten repeatedly. Human trafficking is our modern-day Holocaust. We can't turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to the cry of millions who need our help today. Freedom is the right of every human being and is a cause we must all fight for. The whole reason we started the A21 campaign was to rescue, restore, and rebuild these broken lives. Natalia found hope when she was rescued and brought to one of the A21 safe houses. We provide girls like Natalia with life skills, job training, and help them to take back ownership of their lives, ultimately restoring their dignity, giving them freedom, hope, and a brand new chance of life. A21 lawyers helped to see Natalia's trafficker sentenced to 15 and a half years in prison and given a €108,000. We don't allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the statistics. Then you and I together can bring justice and freedom to those in need. We have such an incredible opportunity to make a difference in our world today. This is our time. This is our moment. We need to act now.
Not an easy watch. And I don't know about you, but I am not going to do nothing about that. I will not stand for that. This is our time. This is our moment. Billy Graham talked about we cannot take responsibility for the generation that has passed, and we cannot take full responsibility for the generation to come. But for the generation now, we can act. Okay? And it is really important. We're going to skip over the details of the walk. We'll come back to that if there's time. It is really important that we don't miss something this morning, okay? Because here's the world map, right? These are the walks that are taking place across the world. And then there's Europe. And then there's the UK. All right? Now, Andy's just going to come up for 2 minutes. He's going to quickly share just how close to home this issue is. You don't need to go to Thailand to hear about trafficking.
I had the opportunity at the beginning of the year to do an art project in Liverpool with victims of human trafficking. Now, these are people who have been rescued by a charity called Hope in Liverpool. They were trafficked into our city. They're young people, young adults, people my age, people older, men and women. And I say men because we've heard a lot about women on the screen today, and it's blokes as well. The story I've got for you is a young man. He was 26 years old. He came from Romania. He travelled here himself because he wanted to get a job and earn a decent wage to look after his ill parents. He came to the UK and he ended up living with a family of Muslims. And the conversation started with me by saying, he said to me, because he knew I was a Christian, he said, what do you think of Muslims? And I didn't really have a comment other than, you know, respect what they believe, but it's not for me because I'm a Christian. I believe differently. And he said, well, I don't respect them. And I said, well, why is that? And then he told me his story. He said, I was living with this family, and the man of the house took my passport away and my papers. And he said, I had to give up my job and work for him if I wanted my passport back. So I did. But then he paid me a wage that I couldn't afford to live on, and I couldn't give money to my family anymore because I hadn't got enough coming in, and I couldn't escape because I hadn't got the money to buy a plane ticket, and even if I had, I couldn't do anything with that because he'd got my passport and my papers. But then he took it one step further and told me I had to give up my faith and become a Muslim. I had to convert. And he said, I'm not doing that. I'm a Christian, and I'm going to stick with what I believe. So I was trapped, he said, and I had no escape until hope found me and got me out. And I said to him, we had a chat about the story of David and how David, even in adversity, remained faithful to God. And I asked him a question. What do you want more than anything else? And he said, I want to see my parents. I said, well, let's pray about that, because God will answer a faithful prayer. Now, a week later, he'd asked me to do a portrait of him. A week later, literally 7 days later, I was back at the project again. And this chap came up to me and said, have you got my portrait done? I'm like, well, just about, but it's not quite finished yet. And he's like, well, I need it. And I was like, well, why? Why? And he said, my prayer's been answered. I'm going home. I'm flying home tonight. The charity has managed to get some papers from the Home Office sorted, and I'm going back to my parents. And I said to him, there you go. God answers our prayers. But the scariest thing is, all of this is happening in Garston, in Allerton. It's happening around us, and it's happening now.
Thanks, Andy. I don't know about you, I just literally just hearing that, I'm just like, no, this is wrong. This can't be, but it is. And so we have an opportunity to do something about it. Sometimes we hear about things, we're like, well, maybe we can't afford to give, or maybe, I don't know, life's busy, etc. And we don't know perhaps how to filter our anger, frustration, our response. Well, we are giving a literal opportunity to give up just a couple of hours on a Saturday morning, 4 weeks' time, 20th of October, 10:30 a.m., between John Lewis and the Hilton. Just in that space, they will be meeting, and we'll be walking for a mile. Hopefully a load of us will be wearing these T-shirts. You don't have to. We ask you to wear black, and we'll be walking single file. Why? Because we're going to make a statement. We don't want to make a rowdy statement of, whoa, who's this angry mob? No. It's a silent protest saying, no, we do not think this is okay, and we want to do something about it. But I think there's some who are going to be here this morning who will fall into a category of going, okay, well, Rob, that's you, or Andy, that's you, and I almost don't want to say it, but almost inadvertently going, you're in a different category to me. And I absolutely believe this morning God wants to break in on those lies. Okay, Acts 4:13 says this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Who were these disciples? Unschooled, ordinary men. 1 Corinthians 1. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And lastly, James 5:17. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. If you're feeling weak this morning, then line up. Let's go. Let's get serving God, because he's calling the weak. If you feel foolish this morning, you qualify to serve the Father in this way. If you feel like, oh, well, I'm just not very well educated, I'm not very good with my words, or I'm not this and I'm not that, but, brilliant. Because God says, it's you, me. He calls us all. And I thank God for the privilege to just be able to say, and me. I'm one of those. It's not, oh, follow Rob. No, we're in this together. And we want kids there. We want young people there. We want middle-aged people, those pushing up that way a little bit too. We want everybody there representing who? Jesus Christ. That the church will not stand back and do nothing, but we will act. No, we can't do everything, okay? But we are called to fight and pray and walk for freedom. Nick has said it, and it's amazing because Nick wouldn't have known this. This is actually an A21 phrase. Did you know that? I couldn't believe it. I was just Googling to see if there was an image for this phrase, and A21 came up. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And we can do something. He's looking for the normal. He's looking for the everyday. He's looking for those that think, who, me? Can I stand up against that? The scariest thing is the statistics we've heard are outdated. It's not estimated 27 million anymore. It's estimated 45 million. It's getting worse. So the church all the more needs to stand up. And we'll finish with this last quote by the founder of A21, Christine Kane. When a lot of people do a little, it adds up and makes a difference. And I just invite you to close your eyes right now. And in a moment, I'm going to give you an invitation to stand. And please hear me. If you stand, it doesn't mean you've got to do the walk. Because this is so much more than a rally call to come on the 20th of October. Yes, it would be amazing if you can make it. If you can't, no worries. This is about responding to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning. Maybe it's not A21. Maybe it's CAP. Maybe it's not CAP. Maybe it's giving to the mission to Uganda. Maybe it's giving to Wally. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit does. And so we pray. Holy Spirit, help us listen. Holy Spirit, help us hear you. Holy Spirit, help us to respond. I pray, church, that you won't be like me for it to take 4 years for you to respond to what God is wanting you to do. And without anybody looking and without anybody needing to ask you what you're responding to, if something inside of you is going yes this morning, and you don't perhaps even know what to, I'm just going to invite you to stand, and then I'm going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, you are the one that searches our hearts. Therefore, you know our hearts. And you know why we've stood this morning. And God, I pray for each one of us individually first. That this would be either a continuation of what you're already doing in us and we're aware of it. Or it would be the start of something that you are bringing to our attention and wanting us to respond to. I pray against the work of the enemy. Who, as we walk out this place, will start to say, who are you to do this? We say, I am a child of God. I have been called, I have been chosen. And I can't do everything, but Father, I can do something. And I want to do that faithfully and obediently. And today, I want to say yes to you. Today, I want to say yes to not wasting my life of the temporary things that we get angry about day in, day out. God, I want to live for a higher purpose. I want to look past the material rubbish that pulls us down, the things that we get so knotted up about. And God, we want to take this moment to say, help us, please, that we would not waste any more time in this place, on this earth, in this time. But that, God, if we need it by your grace, we would have a wake-up call to what you are calling us to, whatever that may be. God, we want to say yes to you in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.